Page 1082, John's Gospel, chapter 14. I'll read just the first seven verses. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. We thank God for his word, and we pray, as always, that what we read as words on a page may become for us the living word of God. In these last few weeks, we have reflected on these key questions of identity, theology, and action, arising from the questions, who are we? That's about our identity. Who are we? Not simply as individuals, but as Evesham Baptist Church. Who are we? What's our identity together? Our theology, that's the question, who do we follow? And as I've said, I think every week, normally when we think about theology, we may think of maybe even a bullet-pointed list of we believe this, we believe this, we believe this, and the other, and the other, and the other, and so on. And these are perhaps even distinct beliefs that we hold that somebody else may not hold. But as Christians, we are those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So above all, what is paramount to us in our theology, in our understanding of God, is the answer to the question, who do we follow? Who do we follow? That's the most important question in terms of our theology, our understanding of God, because we follow the Lord Jesus and Jesus reveals God to us. And then action. How do we live? Because it's all very well stating, well, we believe this, or we follow the Lord Jesus, or this is who we are and our identity and so on. But unless it leads to action, as the Apostle James says, you know, it's worthless if it doesn't lead to day-by-day action. And so we've been considering these questions and these points each week, and they arise from our church values, as I mentioned earlier. Six values: Jesus, welcome, community, inclusive, involvement, and journey. And each week we've made our way through this list and sought to reflect upon one of those values. And today we come to the sixth of the values, which is that value of journey. Together, we make a spiritual journey to discover Jesus and to make sense of him. Our sixth value, journey. Together, we make a spiritual journey to discover Jesus and to make sense of him. Now, we follow Jesus. Our first church value is this: we are committed to Jesus and seek to be his disciples. Everything else flows from that first value. And our value of journey, making a spiritual journey, is about saying together, let's try and make sense of who Jesus is. Let's read his teaching. Let's reflect and meditate upon his life and his lifestyle. Let's try and make sense of these things that we read, that we reflect and meditate upon, and let's apply them to our own lives. And let's see the difference that they make. Jesus promises in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10, I have come that you might have life, life in all its fullness. And we believe it is by following Jesus, by centering our lives upon Jesus, by journeying with and towards Jesus, and taking up on his teaching and his lifestyle that we come to know his life in all its fullness. So there are some key points that I'm going to highlight today. Some are more obvious than others. But the first, I hope, is really simple. And it's this: we follow Jesus. Our value concerning journey, we follow Jesus. This arises from the command of Jesus, or the invitation of Jesus, Jesus saying, "Come, follow me." And we know the story about how Jesus one day was walking along the shore of Lake Galilee. He comes upon a couple of fishermen who are mending their nets. And he speaks to them and simply says, "Come, follow me." And we're told that those fishermen left their nets, got up and began to follow Jesus. Jesus goes a little bit further and sees two more. And again he says, "Come, follow me." And then we have those words repeated many times in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Jesus comes across a tax collector who, by the sound of it — we don't have many details, but by the sound of it, he has a table and he's got money on the table. He's collecting taxes from people as they pass by, or perhaps go through a particular gate or something like that. And he's got it all stored up there. And Jesus speaks to that tax collector and says, "Follow me." The invitation to make a journey of following Jesus. And that invitation comes to every single one of us. And the extraordinary thing is, I guess if we did a survey of all of us and said, okay, where were we born? What education have we had? What's our experience of church? What's our experience of life? What hang-ups have we got? Who are we as we come? We would find a very broad span of people. Jesus calls all sorts to follow him, to make a journey in life of following after Jesus. And it really doesn't matter who we are. We can't say, "Oh, well, this doesn't apply to me. This doesn't apply to me. I'm too odd, or I'm too poor, or I'm too rich," or whatever it is. It applies to every one of us. The invitation: come, follow me. Come and see who Jesus is. Our life journey is centered and focused upon Jesus, his life and his teaching. And so, as I said just a moment ago, we read and reflect and meditate upon the life and the lifestyle of Jesus, because we believe that as we adopt the lifestyle of Jesus for ourselves, we begin to experience life in all its fullness. We believe that as we read and accept the teaching of Jesus for how we should live our lives, again, we begin to experience life in all its fullness. And it's not simply, you know, I've said many times, I first gave my life to Jesus. I first became a Christian when I was 12 years old. That feels like an awful long time ago now. But that's when I first did it. I first prayed a prayer and say, "Jesus, from now on, I'm going to follow you." It didn't feel like the end of a journey. It felt as though I was just taking the first step. And I say it was the first time I gave my life to Jesus, because I know I've given my life to Jesus many, many times, because I keep taking it back. You know, I give it to Jesus and then I keep taking it back. I keep following Jesus and then saying, "I can't be doing with this. It's too tough. It's too difficult." Whatever the excuse is. And it takes time. It takes time. That first step is but the first step. And we mark our journey in a whole host of ways. We come to faith. We join a church. We get baptized in the same way that Jesus did. These are steps. We commit ourselves to a particular community of believers. These are steps on our journey, on the path of following after Jesus. So, very simply, on our journey, we follow Jesus. He is the focus and the center of our journey. The second thing is this. Our journey is Jesus. Now you might think, okay, how does this work? Our journey is Jesus. And yet the reading we've just read from John's Gospel, chapter 14, Jesus said, what did he say? Let's say it together. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you see it? The way is what? It's not what at all, is it? The way is who? The way is Jesus. The journey we are to make is Jesus. There's something about Jesus that makes him the journey that we make. Our journey is about relationship. Our journey is about relationship. I just went backwards there, didn't I? Our journey is relationship. You know, sometimes I think, if only there was a tick list. If only there was a tick list on our journey of this is how to progress on your journey. You know, tick all these boxes, do all these things, and you'll make progress. Well, I don't know about you. I've been married to... So Sarah's not here this morning, so... You know, don't report any of this. Okay. But I've been married to Sarah since 1988. Do you remember the 19s? You know, last century? Since 1988. So that means this year is our 36th year. Is that right? Have I got my maths right? Yep, thank you. So we've been married 35 years. We've had two children. We've lived in London and we've lived in Evesham, the two places we've lived together. And we've grown together. We are best friends. I know I would rather spend time with Sarah than I would probably want to spend time with anybody else in the world. But if somebody else came to me and said, if I was to give advice to somebody who was going to marry Sarah, and they said, give us advice. I'm going to spend my life married to Sarah. Give me a tick list, bullet points, of how I can have a good relationship with Sarah. I probably wouldn't know where to start. But I would just say, well, take it one day at a time. Love as best you can. Spend time with her. Listen to her. Love her. Love yourself as well. Look after yourself. Get to know yourself as well. But there's no real checklist. It's relationship. It's just get on with it. Talk. Listen. Reflect. Journey together, do stuff together. It's all those kind of things. And you might be saying, that's a bit nebulous, that's a bit difficult, but that's what relationship is. And then we look back and we realize we've grown together and we know each other better and we love each other more. And you realize you've found a place in each other's hearts. And Jesus, when he says, come follow me, and we step out on our journey, our spiritual journeys of following Jesus and trying to make sense of Jesus. We heed the words of Jesus, I am the way. I am the way. It's not this rule. It's not this regulation. It's not do this, do this, do this. Don't do that and the other. It is, I am. Get to know Jesus. Get to know Jesus. And that is the journey. Get to know Jesus, which is why I so often say, if you're going to read the Bible and you're not sure where to start, read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, because they, in a very clear way, teach us about Jesus. We have there the teaching of Jesus. We have there the life and the lifestyle of Jesus. Focus your attention there and then from there spread out to the rest of the Bible, because our journey is Jesus. It is that relationship with Jesus. Our journey is exclusive. Now you see, I've put an exclamation mark. Do you see that little bracket? I put an exclamation mark. Our journey is exclusive. And I wasn't sure how to phrase this. Because on our journey, we follow Jesus. On our journey is Jesus. It's relationship with Jesus day after day after day. But there's something about our journey that is exclusive. But it may not be exclusive in the way that you're thinking. Because Jesus says this, if anyone would come after me, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would be a follower, a disciple of Jesus, they must deny themselves, they must take up their cross and follow me. And so our journey is exclusive in this way. We can't take with us all the stuff that would normally preoccupy us. We can't take with us the values that are so dominant in our world, that we imbibe just by living in the 21st century. We can't take those values on that journey of following Jesus. We have to deny them. We have to put them down. And we have to put down so many of the things that we hold so dear. The desire for power, the desire for wealth and for comfort. We have to put them down. Because, Jesus says, the journey is exclusive. You must exclude certain things if you're going to follow Jesus. And this is what we were saying earlier about the narrow way and the broad way. We journey on the broad way because we've got so much stuff that we take with us. But Jesus says, no, if you want to follow me, you must deny all of that. You must give all of that up. And you must step into relationship. And sometimes the seeming fragility of relationship, and yet the security of a deep and powerful love. So our journey is about following Jesus. Our journey is Jesus in relationship with him, but our journey is exclusive. It's about giving up some things in order that we can journey well with Jesus. And then the fourth and final thing is that our journey is transformation. The Apostle Paul, reflecting on a life of following after Jesus, said this, if anyone is in Christ, they are new creation. There's something that happens to us. There's something that happens to us that as we follow Jesus, as we pay attention to the life and the lifestyle of Jesus and seek to imitate that in our own lives, as we pay attention to the teaching of Jesus and begin to say, how can I adopt this teaching in my own life? As we do that, and we do it, it seems to me, in such a stumbling way so often, such a fumbling way, and we feel so often that we're failing, we're not making a good job of it, and we do the wrong things and we say the wrong things, but we're trying and we're making that journey of getting along alongside Jesus. And the Apostle Paul says, do you know what? The truth is that even as we stumble, even as we fall, sometimes even as we break and crack open, there's a new creation happening. There's something new that is beginning and growing and developing. And our journey is transformation. And there is change that takes place within us as we pay attention to Jesus, as we seek to develop our relationship with Jesus. We grow. And that's one thing that happens in relationships, isn't it? In marriages. Your partner grows. Your partner changes. And you think, you're not the person I married. Well, of course not, because you've grown, you've changed. Things are different now. We have learnt so much about them and about us. And our characters change as well. Our characters change as we stumble, and try in every way we can to follow after Jesus. Our characters change. And it is our hope that we become more loving and more kind and more merciful and compassionate and forgiving and gracious. This is our value of journey, that together we make a spiritual journey to discover Jesus and to make sense of him. On our journey, we follow Jesus. On our journey is Jesus, relationship with him. Our journey is to some extent exclusive, and our journey is one of transformation. I pray that God would take all of what I've shared, and he would take the thoughts and responses within our minds and our hearts right now, and he would cause there to be a place of rest in our hearts for his word. And we might be blessed by that. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we hear the words afresh today. Come, follow me. I have come that you may have life, life in all its fullness. And Father, we thank you for the good news concerning your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you that as we follow Jesus, we come to know you, Father, as Father. Father, thank you that in Jesus we experience love and mercy and kindness. And we pray that for each one of us, at whichever point we find ourselves on our journey of following Jesus, we pray that our love for you might be deepened and we might experience our joy increasing. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.